There are some very fascinating details given us in these readings today about Jesus. And one of the first ones, I think, comes from Peter, because Peter, in the Acts of the Apostles, he's preaching, and he says to them, to these people, he's standing in front of these people, and he says, you, talks to them, you did this. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now, what's interesting about that, though, is the attitude of Peter here isn't like this. It's not like that. He's not ramming it down their throat. He's simply stating a truth. Because Peter doesn't stand apart from these people that did that. He denied Jesus on the very same night that they also denied him. And see, this is the thing about Jesus. When he came back from the dead, you can even see this in the other resurrection accounts. When he came back from the dead, the first one that recognized him was Mary of Magdala. You remember, she was there and she thought he was a gardener. And then he calls her name and she recognizes him. And in that experience, Mary did not have the experience we might expect. She didn't look at Jesus and say, oh, gee, I'm so glad you're risen from the dead, Jesus. It's great that you're now risen from the dead and are in this wonderful realm, and here I am still slopping around on the face of the earth. Maybe some of us have had that experience. You have a friend or someone who's had a wonderful prayerful experience or a retreat or something, or it's going so well for them, and you look at them and you say, gee, I'm so glad you're having this wonderful time in your life. And you kind of look at the Lord sometimes and say, how about when you start giving out those gifts? How about me? What about me? There was no question, what about me, in their experience of Jesus in the resurrection, because this was for them. That's part of what they're communicating to us. That's part of what the testimony is. Peter would say, yes, you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. But then later on, down in the sermon, he then starts to make excuses for them, recognizing, hey, I'm one of you. I denied him. Now, I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. I know this. But hey, guess what? But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he announced beforehand through all the prophets, that the Christ must suffer. Repent, therefore, like I did, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. The experience of the resurrection for Peter, for all of them, was not, gee, it's great, Lord, that you're up there, nice barca lounger, just taking your ease, resurrected and glorified, and here we are slopping through life. There was none of that in their experience when they encountered Jesus. And we even say it in the Eucharist, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body given for you. And so my resurrection is also for you. Now, is there room to say, well, why didn't he do it differently? Why do I still have to suffer? Couldn't he have just raised us up like he did Mary? Yeah, I suppose if he gave us all immaculate conceptions, then in justice, we would rise immediately from death and be glorified humanity, but that's not how he's decided to do it. We're not immaculately conceived, like Mary was. We're not conceived without sin. We still bear some of the fallenness of the world we live in. Because the world we live in is still fallen. Yeah, we await a new heavens and a new earth. And that brings me to another thing about the resurrection appearances that is given to us in other parts of the Bible. As Jesus stands before them, now resurrected, he is in complete authority over everything, visible and invisible in this world. Wow. I don't know if I believe that, Father Dan. Look at what's going on in the world today. Just look at the 20th century and the millions of people slaughtered innocently for seemingly no reason other than some tyrant didn't like them. Jesus governs the whole of history and all the elements within it, visible and invisible. Yeah, he does. That is our faith. Because none of that evil, as bad as it is, and honestly, I'm sure some of you have your own stories to tell, has the final word. To any man or woman of faith, we have to remember, our Father who art in heaven asked his Son to do that. And he said yes to it. That's tough. I know for me anyway, that's one of the toughest parts of our faith that I still try to digest. How our Father, who is so loving and merciful to us, his children, would ask his own Son to go through that. But the reason was, he had to take complete authority over every aspect of evil that could ever occur on the face of this earth, in the visible and invisible realms, complete authority over it, by facing it all. And that's what he did on Calvary. He took it all on in complete obedience to the Father. And this time, he didn't just bind the strong man as he did in the desert of 40 days. You remember at the beginning of Lent? He didn't just bind him. He mortally wounded him, and he's limping. And now, he's even got a chain around him. And his access to us is completely under the authority of Christ. Completely. There's nothing he can ever do to you or me on his own. There's nothing random about this beast's access to us. Now, unfortunately, what we tend to do is we still go to him when he proposes to us our false solutions to life. We still go over to him. He's seductive, yes, and he uses the goods of this world, the goods of our Father, to trick us, just like he did Adam and Eve. He tries to trick us to come over closer to him so he can start chomping on us again. And that is, brothers and sisters, what we tend to do sometimes in our freedom. And our Lord won't violate your freedom. Sometimes I feel challenged by that too. Like, our Father doesn't want us to go close to that beast. And yet, in our freedom, he'll let us get close to that beast. If we insist. At least I've come to that much. I do believe our Father does not want us close to that beast at all. Not at all. If we insist, though, and keep insisting, finally, eventually, yes, he might lift the protective cover and, all right, have at it, until you're just so full and tired of it that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you'll finally come back. But it's still, nothing is happening there without the authority of Christ reigning over it. That's the thing. See, here's the deal. After Christ, there's nothing random about the crosses we undergo. Now, I know that's tough for us to believe, but that is our faith. The crosses we suffer, and you're going to suffer them, and you probably already have already, they are tailored. They're tailored to our shoulder. They're tailored to our shoulder. And that's meant to give us confidence that there's nothing we cannot face in life in terms of the difficulties that we encounter, that he's not going to be there with us. Because he doesn't fly the coop when things get difficult, like maybe some other people have in our lives. Maybe when you start not being so popular, they jump ship. Or maybe when you start losing a little bit of your status in the community, all of a sudden some people start falling away and don't want to associate with you as much. Jesus will never be like that with us, ever. No way. He's not like that. He's not like we are. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. My care for you doesn't go by the wind and seeing where it's blowing, like a lot of our politics does today. He doesn't deal with us that way. He's faithful. He digs in. And he does say to us, doesn't he? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart. The tyrants of this world are in the world. That's not Christ. My yoke is easy, my burden light. It's tailored because he went ahead of us and he has total authority over all we face in our future, so that Paul could even say, what can come between us and the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus? Trial, distress, persecution, nakedness, the sword, death, life, nothing. This is our faith, brothers and sisters. And the apostles are testifying to that. And so to come back, Peter, yes, at the very beginning with this homily, you denied the author of life, but so did I. And guess what? I've got some good news. He didn't come back with an attitude, but in forgiveness. So repent and believe in the good news. The justice of God has been postponed in favor of our repentance, that we will return to him. And our Father is merciful, and the yoke is gentle.